Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, open your Bibles this morning to John 19 and Luke 23. We are on week four of our Easter series, Famous Last Words. And as you're turning to those places, we want to remind you that next week we have a special presentation called Christ and the Passover, where we're going to be seeing how the Last Supper, that supper where Jesus celebrated with his disciples, was a Passover meal. Communion came out of it, but the symbolism of the Passover meal and how the whole meal was pointing to Christ's death and his sacrifice that he was going to be making in just a few hours later. And just a very powerful presentation. We encourage you to come and maybe invite someone. And then also be praying, inviting. 2 weeks from now is Easter. Can you believe it? How many are ready for eggs and ham and bunnies? Not necessarily in that order. How many are ready for the resurrected Jesus? You know, he's resurrected here. He just doesn't raise once a year. He's here all the time. But we want you to invite someone. How many have accepted the Easter challenge and you've been praying and thinking about someone you can invite? Raise your hand. That's some of you. That's right. I know a lot of you raised your hand. I know some of you have been inviting people already. I heard last Sunday that someone invited someone and they showed up last Sunday. And so it is great to see that people are coming. And if you're here for the first time today and maybe someone invited you, we want you to know we're really glad you're here. And I don't know what they used to entice you to come. Maybe they said they'd take you out for lunch and give you a free lunch, or you'd meet a cute guy or a cute girl, or whatever the reason, we're glad you came today, all right? And our hope is that you feel welcome here, that you feel this is a safe place that you can explore and learn about God, and most of all, that you can experience God in a real way. That's our hope and our prayer for you, and we're so glad that you're here. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the last three phrases that Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross. Those three last phases. And take a look at your notes this morning. In your bulletin, there is an insert. These three last words reveal something to us, and they reveal that God has a plan. God has a plan for our life. God has a plan, and as long as I'm alive, as long as I have breath, I have unfinished business. You and I, as long as we live, we have unfinished business to complete this plan that God has in store for us. Now, as we look at these today, we're going to realize that this plan, it hinges on three things, and the three things are connected right to these very last three sayings. I want to share a story with you. When we lived back in Iowa, our home butted up against an embankment, a very steep hill that went down, and a grove of trees. Kind of, it looked like a forest. And we had moles. Does anyone know what a mole is? I don't know if there's moles out here in Wyoming. We haven't had any in 6.5 years. I am so thankful for that. Moles, they're little varmints, okay? They're little rodent-like creatures that tunnel just a few inches underneath the surface, and they can tear up your whole yard. They look for night crawlers and grubs and other insects that they can eat. They can go through your garden and uproot your garden. They can go through flowers and tear up flower beds. They can go underneath your plants and your grass, and it looks okay, but it causes air pockets, and when the sun beats down on it, it just kills the root system of everything. Moles are horrible, all right? We had moles. And we also had this certain kind of soil called loess soil, L-O-E-S. It's very erosive in water. And one night, we had some moles that went through the backyard along the fence line where this steep hill was. And then we had a big, I didn't have time to get the mole tunnel fixed. You wanted to press it down and compact it. I didn't have time to fix it. And the next day, we had a big thunderstorm. And a Midwest thunderstorm, you can have inches and inches of rain just pouring down in sheets for several hours if you've ever been in the Midwest. And I tell you, that water found the mole tunnel, and it just began to eat away. And when we woke up the next morning, it was like one third of our fence line, the hill had started to erode away. And it's like, we're going, oh my goodness. And like our house, I mean, the fence from the back door of our house isn't even to the back of the sanctuary. It was about half that way. It was a very narrow backyard. And we're going, we could, you know, this could come up to the foundation of the house. It was very scary. We had to spend several hundred dollars to build a retaining wall and to fortify our backyard so it wouldn't fall off down the hill. All because of one stupid little mole. Love those creatures. We trapped them all the time. But here's the thing. Friends, you and I fulfilling the plan of God in our lives, many times God's plan is eroded by one little thing that's left unattended in our life. And because we don't address it, because we think, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not bad. I can get away with this. I can let it go. Instead of addressing these little issues, these little choices in life, we let them go. And if we do that, we can experience great destruction. If you're here this morning, I encourage you to let the Holy Spirit examine your life in pinpoint areas that you need to address. No matter how small they are, don't let them go. Address them quickly and address them with integrity. Jesus wrote to the church in Sardis in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. He said, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." In other words, he says, you've got a reputation. Maybe you have a reputation of having a good marriage. People think, man, they're a close couple. They're a great couple. But the reality is that you know there's very little intimacy in your relationship and your marriage isn't where it should be, even though you have the reputation of that. Maybe it's finances. Maybe on the outside, it's like, man, they've got a nice car, a nice house. They go to a lot of places, do a lot of nice things. But you are being strangled. You are in up to your neck in debt, and you need to change something financially, even though you look like you have a good reputation on the outside. Maybe it's spiritually this morning. You look like you've got a relationship with God, but you know that there hasn't been real intimacy, hasn't been a real connection for quite some time, and you need to change things in your life because you've got this appearance on the outside that looks good to everyone else, but on the inside, nothing is there. Jesus said to this, he says, you have a reputation that you're alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Okay, try that again. Wake up. Are you sleeping out there? Wake up. Jesus says, wake up. If you're dead, if there is something going on, wake up because and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Friends, wake up. You have some unfinished business. My prayer today is that all of us will be open and say, God, what is your plan for my life? What's the unfinished business? Are there moles in my life that I need to root out, that I need to stomp down, that I need to take care of? Because I believe God has plans for you. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, plans to prosper you, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the plan God has for us. Great plans, plans to bless us. This morning, Paul said in Acts 20:24, he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of Jesus Christ. In your notes there, I've given you some space this morning to write down your unfinished business. I want you just to think right now, take the next 10, 15 seconds. What's God saying to you that is unfinished in your life? Write it down. What is your unfinished business? For some of you, maybe you call Casper Faith your home church and you attend here, but You are what we would call a consumer because you receive and you think it's great, but you're not serving anywhere in the church. You're not serving as part of the body. Paul said, as the body, each one of us has a part. Each as a, just as your members of the body, each part of your body has a function, maybe you're not flowing in serving in the body of Christ. Maybe for some of you, your unfinished business is getting into a life group. Maybe you've been, you come to church, but you haven't been developing deeper relationships. Maybe you feel like, I really don't know anybody here. Life groups is a way to do that. Life groups is a way to get plugged in. Life groups is a way to get connected. I had some people in our life group, we were just talking about what life group has meant to us, and they says, you know, it's so important because there was a time when I could skip church and nobody would know. Now when I miss church, my life group knows, and they're calling me saying, hey, where are you? It gives a greater accountability. For some of you, maybe your unfinished business is financial. Maybe you need to get on a budget. Maybe you need to sell that car or some of those things that you have and get out from under that debt load. You need to begin being a wise steward of the resources God has given you. Maybe some of you, you've made a commitment to tithe. Maybe it was just during our Dash series. And you says, I'm going to tithe, but you haven't followed through. Or maybe you did, but you're like that guy who was making $6 million. And he says, I just can't do it anymore. And you want to go back on that commitment. Maybe some of you, your unfinished business is your marriage today. You're looking good on the outside, but you know there are some things you've got to stop doing or some things you need to start doing. And you've been waiting for her or waiting for him to come and apologize to you. And you need to be the one that changes. Don't worry about your spouse. If you've done wrong, go to them, confess it, get right, and start doing the right things. What is your unfinished business this morning? Something God has been talking to me about is the physical aspect, to eat right and to exercise, because I'm getting away with it now, but where am I going to be 20, 30 years from now? And my daughter, who's a workout fanatic, is always on me, Dad, you got to work out. And it's like, yeah, I know. And that's part of my unfinished business. I need to start taking care of myself so I've got more energy as a dad, as a husband, as a minister, and for the long road down the head. So what is your unfinished business this morning? What is it? And then how, once you know what it is, how do you fulfill it? Three keys in your notes. Take a look this morning, and we see these through the last three famous words of Jesus. The first one is when Jesus said, I thirst. Jesus is on the cross and he says, I thirst. And what this shows us is that you and I need sensitivity to God's plan. We need sensitivity to hear what God is speaking to us about what is the unfinished business in our life. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. This means Jesus knows he's paid the price for sin. He has just said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which we talked about last week. He knows he's paid the price for sin. It says that the scripture might be filled. He said, I thirst. And as a result, a vessel of sour wine or vinegar was sitting there. They filled a sponge with it, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The reason Jesus, it says he knew the scripture is referring to Psalm 69, 21. Write that in your notes or go ahead and just put it in your Bible next to that. Psalm 69, verse 21. It was a prophecy that was made about Jesus. It says, they gave me gall for my food and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. This was the last prophecy that Christ fulfilled. It remained. He hadn't been given this vinegar, this sour wine to drink. And so he said, I thirst, and it happened. Take a look on the back of your notes this morning. We give you 30 prophecies. By the way, if you're how many JBQ parents are here this morning know how many prophecies were about the life and death of Jesus? Have any of you parents got that far? Oh, you don't. You better study up because the kids are going to know this for this Wednesday night as the kids take on the parents, okay? I'm going to help you. I want you to win, even though you don't stand a chance, okay? Over 300. Yeah, that's right. Do you realize that there were over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled through his life, ministry, and death? I've given you 30 of them here, and I encourage you, I have the Old Testament reference so you can read it, and then the New Testament fulfillment, and if you want to really build your faith, I encourage you, look those prophecies up and just look at those, but those are 10% of the 300 prophecies that were made, and Jesus knew this prophecy from Psalm 69 had not been fulfilled, and so he said, I thirst. Even after 6 hours on the cross, after the torture, after the agony, and we've been talking about that, about the severe suffering he went through, the horrific pain, even in spite of all that, Jesus on the cross is still sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that he knows there is one prophecy yet that needs to be fulfilled. And because of that sensitivity, he says, I thirst. He's given that vinegar, that sour wine, and he fulfills the prophecy. And this is what I think of. If Jesus can fulfill God's plan in such intimate detail when he's in so much pain and agony, how much more can I trust Jesus to fulfill his plan in my life? Have you ever felt like, God, what are you doing? God, I don't see your plan. I don't see your hand. My life is out of control. You ever felt that way before? I felt that way. And here's the thing. You can trust Jesus. When he's on the cross, he fulfilled the Father's plan, and he will make sure the Father's plan is fulfilled in your life if you're just sensitive to the voice of his Spirit. To be sensitive to the plan, it requires ample time in prayer and the Word. Write that in your notes this morning. I need to be in prayer and the Word. That's how we're sensitive. We're told, we see time after time how Jesus went to prayer. He was often in prayer. And he was a man of the Word. He knew the Word. And so he's hanging on the cross. The Holy Spirit can bring to his mind the things that he had already learned. And Jesus said to his disciples, the same Holy Spirit that has taught me is going to teach you. In John chapter 14, 26, he says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. Friends, as I spend time, as you spend time in the Word of God, studying, praying, seeking Jesus, being with Jesus, Jesus will bring things to your mind. The Holy Spirit will nudge you. He'll prompt you. He'll reveal things to you. He'll speak to you about what he wants you to do that day. And as you go throughout the day, the Holy Spirit will help you be sensitive to God's plan. If you want to finish the unfinished business you have left in your life, you need to be sensitive to the plan of God. And that really takes place through time with God in prayer and the Word. Let's take a look at number two this morning. The second step to completing our unfinished business is found in the phrase, it is finished. And this tells me that I need to execute a verbalized decision. I need to execute a verbalized decision. We see Jesus doing this in John 19:28 and then verse 30. Jesus says, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he knew that he had executed it. He said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and he gave up his decision. You see, Jesus just wasn't sensitive to God's plan, but he made a decision to fulfill it. There's many times in the Bible we see Jesus talking about his need to die. We see it in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Jesus said this to his disciples. Funny thing is, here's Peter. Peter rebukes Jesus for that. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? How many want to rebuke Jesus and say, you're wrong, Jesus? That's what Peter did. And Jesus kind of put him in his place. Jesus knew what the decision was. He knew what God's plan was. He decided, I'm going to die on the cross, and he verbalized that to his disciples. We see it again a couple of chapters later, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus verbalized his decision. He went public. He declared it. And that is so important because, you see, there are some of us here today, we know what God has told us to do, but we just haven't decided to do it. We're hemming and hawing. It's like, well, I would, but this. And we have all these excuses, and we haven't made the decision, even though we know what God wants us to do. We're resisting, we're hesitating, we're delaying, we're giving reasons and excuses for not doing it. Or there's some of us, we've made the decision, but we just haven't told anybody. Because that way, I can slip back and fail and nobody knows it. You see, if I don't tell anybody about it, then I'm not accountable for it. If you really want to put your money where your mouth is, tell someone about it. There's something about when you tell someone about a decision you've decided to make, they can hold you accountable. I'm not going to look at pornography anymore. I'm not going to look at X-rated movies. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. I am going to do these things. I'm going to spend time with my wife. I'm going to take regular time in prayer. I'm going to exercise. Telling people about it. You see, now that I've said this to you, you can say, how's your exercise program going, Pastor? I was wrestling with whether or not to verbalize anything about this, because if I don't tell you guys, then I'm not accountable for it. And the enemy wants us to keep our commitments silent, because then we probably won't follow through on them. There is something about verbalizing a decision. It helps you to execute it. Jesus was not wishy-washy. Take a look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Oh, by the way, Jesus just didn't verbalize his commitment, his decision to the whole world like I just did. He just told his disciples. He told a few, and there are some decisions some of you have to make that you need to get some armor bearers, some close Christians, people in your life, and you need to start telling them those things so they can hold you accountable. That's what Jesus did. He shared it with those he was doing life with, close believers. And here's something. He is in the garden. This is the night before he's crucified. This is right before he's arrested, and he's praying, verse 39. He fell on his face and prayed and says, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Do you hear what he's saying there? He's saying, God, I don't want to die on the cross for everyone's sin. He's saying, let me out of this. If it's possible, help me. I don't want to go through this. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, Jesus is looking for a way out. If there's any other way, God, for this to be accomplished, let it be done. Let this cup pass from me. He's wanting to be out of it, but he does not live by his emotions. He does not live by his feelings. He knows what the right thing is, and he submits his feelings of what he wants to the will of God, knowing what is right, knowing what the plan is, know what God has revealed to him, and he verbalizes his commitment to God. Verbalize your commitment in prayer. Every morning, get up and say, God, I am going to do this. And God, I'm struggling. I don't want to do this. Help me to do the right thing. God, you know I want to take that drink today. God, you know I want to have that joint. God, you know I want to look at that porn. God, you know that I want to do this or want to do that. But verbalize your commitment to God. Tell him how you feel, but then declare that you are willing to do his will and not your own will. And then just do it. Execute that verbalized decision. Jesus, after he prayed in the garden, he had the strength to go beyond his emotions so that he could say, "It is finished." That's a word, the Greek word is tetelestai, and it's there in your notes this morning. And what it means is to end, to complete, to execute, to discharge a debt. And it was used in three different ways in Bible times. The first was when a servant would return to his master, and they had completed a project that the master had given them, and the servant would say, tetelestai, it's finished. The other way was when a merchant would take a debt and someone had paid off the debt and it was now fulfilled, it was complete, the merchant would write on there, tetelestai, it's finished. The other way was when a person would bring a sacrifice to the priest, an animal, and the priest would look it over, make sure there's no spot, there's no blemish, that it's perfect, it's pure, it's complete, and then the priest would declare, tetelestai, this animal, this sacrifice is worthy to be given in worship to God. And friends, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's saying, tetelestai. He's saying, oh, Master, Father, this servant has completed the project, the task you've given him. It is finished, tetelestai. He said that this debt that mankind had is now paid in full by my blood. It is finished, tetelestai. He said that this sacrifice, this Lamb of God is perfect, and his sacrifice, his blood, takes away your sin. It is worthy to pay the price. Tetelestai, it is finished. Jesus completed the will of the Father. And that's what he's asking us to do. To execute the decision we have made, that we've heard from God, that we know God wants us to do, and we follow through so we can say, tetelestai, it's finished. We need to execute a verbalized decision. We need to be sensitive to God's plan. The third thing that we need to do, if we're going to finish the unfinished business God has for us, look at number three in your notes. Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And the lesson we learn here is that I need to trust God for the results. I must trust God for the results. Jesus had done everything in his power to finish the business that God had for him, and now he's trusting the Father to take care of him. Jesus is trusting the Father that he's not going to leave him in the underworld, that he's going to be trapped there. We talked about this a few weeks ago on Life Groups, and it's in Psalm 16:10. It says, you will not leave my soul in Sheol or in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Jesus was trusting that Peter, who just hours before had denied him, not once, not twice, but three times, that he would be strong in the faith and be able to lead the church. Jesus was trusting that his followers, who deserted him, are nowhere to be found, are going to rise up and be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. Jesus is trusting that his sacrifice would bring redemption to mankind. And it did. Because simultaneously, what happened, and we read about this, Matthew recorded it in chapter 27 of his gospel, verse 50. It says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You see, friends, there was a temple in the temple. There was a veil that separated the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was, from everyone else. There was only one person who could go into the Holy of Holies and see the Ark, and that was the high priest. He did it one day a year when he took the blood of a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, and that sacrifice was for the sins of the people. And when Jesus died as the perfect high priest, he took his blood into the temple and the veil was ripped from top to bottom, saying that everybody has access. He's given you and I access today. And later on, in verse 51, the earth quaked, rocks were split open, graves were open, many bodies of saints who had died were raised. They came out of their graves after his resurrection. They went to the city and appeared to many. And it says, when the centurion and the other people that were around Jesus when he died saw this, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus trusted God with the results. And there are some of you here today, you have been doing what God has told you to do, and you're not seeing the results. Darkness is covering the world for you. You're feeling like, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you're ready to quit the plan that God gave you. You're ready to stop. You're ready to give up. But don't look at the results. Leave the results up to God. You do what is right. You do what God spoke to you last. Be sensitive. Go to God for prayer. Say, God, I want to give up, but not my will. Yours be done. Help me. And he will help you. God is seldom early, but he's never late. I close with this story. There was a camera crew that was going down in Florida during the aftermath of Hurricane Andrew. And there was just house after house that was destroyed, but there was one house that was standing. And there was a man there. They came up and interviewed him. He was outside and they said, sir, why is your house standing? And all these others destroyed. And he says, well, I built this house myself. And I built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. I just guess the rest of these people didn't follow the code. You know, when the skies are clear and it's sunny outside, it's easy to say, I don't have to do all of the business God's called me to. It's just a little thing. I can get by. I can let that mole go. But friends, when the storm comes, when the rains fall, that's when it shows up. And God has spoken to some of you today. He's given you a code. He's given you a plan. He's told you things to do, or there's things you need to stop doing. And you have a decision this morning. Am I going to finish the work he's given me? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. He says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. According to your means means the best of your ability. Hey, you may not be in a perfect place, but give it your best shot. Finish the work God's called you to do. Let's pray this morning. Father God, I pray right now that you would bring this to completion, whatever is going on in people's lives. God, you have unfinished business. Speak to our hearts today. Friends, what is your unfinished business this morning? For some of you, it could be that there's sin in your life. Maybe it's been there a long time, and today you're making a decision saying, no more. I'm done. It is finished. I'm not going to live that way anymore. God's been speaking to you, convicting you, poking at you, and you know that today is the day you need to give that to God, and you need to repent. You need to turn from it. You need to be finished with it. Some of you this morning, maybe it's a relationship decision. Maybe you're dating someone that you know is no good for you. They're dragging you down. And you know God's been saying, get out of this relationship. Maybe some of you, it's your marriage. You know you haven't been the husband. You haven't been the wife you need to be. And God's been speaking to you saying, you need to start being that wife. Start being that mom. Start being that father. Start being that husband to your family. What's God saying to you? For some of you, maybe it's your finances. You need to get your financial house in order. And you're saying, today's the day. Some of you, maybe it's a spiritual decision. I don't know what it is, but whatever God is speaking to you today, how many would say, I need to give it to God. I have unfinished business in my life. God is telling me some things to do, and today I'm making a decision. I'm not going to sit on the fence. I'm not going to ignore it any longer, but you're going to say, I'm going to start by making a decision by raising your hand today.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.